Hello, dear saints. Good evening this evening. I trust you've had a lovely day and your week has been good, and hoping that you've been instructed over the past few days in God's word. We're here again for day six. You know, people say six is the number of man, so it means we focus on man today again. Well, as much as possible, avoid all forms of distraction. Today, Saturday, right? We are in church again tomorrow fiscally, but this is going to be the day six, the last day for the online. Then we'll meet again tomorrow in church and continue. So I think tomorrow, what I will do tomorrow is just remind me, if you have to, just remind me that I'll try to do question and answer session for both Nigeria and UK church. So there'll be a QR code or a link that will be sent to the Nigerian church that can be projected to everyone, and people can, you know, have access to that. So one of you in Nigerian church, one of the leaders in Nigerian church, can reach out to me and just to get that link and share on the group chat. Then we'll try to tackle some questions. I understand that some of us might have quite a number of questions and lots of things to answer, but hopefully we trust God's word to help us. Well, let's go to the word this evening. Let's agree in prayer. Let me use the best of time this evening. Father, we ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is told with accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this beautiful evening, and we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. Look at Romans chapter 13. Look at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. We look through scriptures to see that the summary of the scriptures is that man should love. Right? Man should love. Well, so it says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love, verse 10, worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. You see, if everyone can pay attention to, let's even start from believers. If believers can pay attention to the concept and the teaching of love in scriptures, the world will be a better place. You hear what I said? If the believers in this world alone, just isolate the believers alone, if they can pay attention to the love of God and the instruction that comes with the love of God, the place and the entire world will be a better place. So he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Look at verse 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Look at that one more time. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Right? Now, we stopped in James yesterday. I'll just do a quick recap on some of the things we've been saying. If we go back to chapter 12, he says in verse 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. It says, if it be possible, as much as the light with you, live peaceably with all men. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. It says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy is hungry, or if thy enemy hunger, what do? You feed him. If he thirsts, give him something to drink. So what does God do to his enemy when he finds out his enemy is hungry? God allows his rain to fall on the evil and the good. He allows the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. So the unjustness of the unjustness of a man does not qualify the man to be or disqualified a man from receiving of the rain and the Son of God, right? The rain and the Son of God is not by any time or any point measured by how well a man is good or how well or how good a man does, right? Man will always be in the mix of doing good, doing bad. But God is not in the mix of responding with good or bad. God is in the mix of responding with only good. So God, the good God, only gives good to the good and even to the evil. So when an evil man approaches God, what should you expect God to give the evil man? Let's say differently. When a good man approaches God, what do you expect God to give the good man? Good things or good altogether. Matthew 7 will teach you. Same thing with Luke chapter 9. He says, if thou be evil, we said the word there, evil, is unstable. Know how to give good gifts. How much more will the Holy Ghost give good things to them that ask? Matthew 7, 9, Matthew 7, 11, then Luke chapter 9. Altogether, right? So God gives good to both evil and good. Are we together? Right? Yeah. Think about it this way. There are many people who have done evil things in this earth, and it seems as though let me say that differently. There are many people who have done evil things on this earth. They are doing evil things on this earth, and it seems as though they even live longer than lots of people who do good things. You know why? Because it is life. That's the answer to that question. Are we together? Right? So if God is the one that strikes when man does evil, ideally, majority of us in the earth today should not be alive. Are we together? Remember, when you come to the dining table, the dinner supper table of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you bring? You bring your ram with the purpose and intention to share your ram with another. That's a love walk. Are we together? So man brings their blood to God, and God says, you don't need to bring your blood to me for me. You need to bring your blood to me, not for me, but for your fellow brother. Right? First John says that, hereby perceive the love of God in that he laid down his life, and so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Are we together? If any man has this world's good and he sees a man that is in need and he refuses, that is, he shuts up his bowel of compassion. Are we together? Yet that the love of God does not, or this knowledge does not dwell in him. Are we together? Right? So it means that he is not paying attention to the right things. Right? So the Bible says that recompense no evil, Romans 12:17, for evil. So when man brings evil to your doorstep, what do you give back? Every other thing except anything evil. You get the point, right? Because there is good, there is evil. So every other thing except anything evil. So when man meets you with teeth, what do you respond with? You don't respond with tat, teeth for tat, or tat for teeth, anyone that floats your boat, right? You don't respond with evil with evil. You respond with evil to good, with good. So at what point is a man as a believer qualified to respond with evil? At no point in time is the believer qualified, mandated, instructed, obligated, are we together, to respond with evil with evil, or to respond to evil with evil. Man has a way of wanting to always respond to evil with evil, but God is love in our hearts, right? Bible says that he has shared abroad his love abroad in our hearts. Are we together, right? So the Spirit of Lord, which is us, is an expression of God's love to us whilst we were evil, whilst we were sinners, whilst we were enemies. So believers were once sinners. We walked according to the cause of this world, and we, Ephesians 2, as he quickened. Ephesians 4 says, be therefore followers of Christ, are we together, and walk in love. Ephesians 4:26, and be ye not angry and sin, are we together, and do not allow the sun to come down your anger. Ephesians 4:31, let wrath, let anger, let bitterness, let clamor, let evil speaking be put away from you, are we together, right? Matthew chapter 5, right? If a man should slap your cheek, you turn the other side of the cheek for him to slap. What does that mean? Try and aim to resolve matters quickly. Are we together? If you then being evil know how to give good things. Are we together? Matthew 7, right? How much more would the Heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit? Luke 9. Are we together? So God is the one that gives good, right? If you do good to only those that do good to you, what difference are you from the publicans? Are we together, right? If you only pray for those who pray for you, what difference are you from the publicans? Are we together? Pray for them that is faithfully used in Matthew 5. Are we together? Our Father who art in heaven, you forgive us our trespasses, so we forgive our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass rather against us. Matthew 7. Are we together? Right? So the Bible is littered, well littered. Matthew 10 verse 16. I have sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves who are as wise as serpents. Be ye therefore as harmless as dove. Are we together? So the Bible is well list. Matthew 22, 26. Are we together? When you read all the way down in Matthew 22, you realize that there was a conversation about what is the great commandment. And Jesus will say in John 13, 34, he will say, a new commandment I give to you. A new commandment I give to you. A new commandment. A new commandment. A new. That what? You love your neighbor as I have loved you. Are we together? So love your neighbor. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 17 or 18. Right? Yeah, love your neighbor. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind. Right? And love thy neighbor. Leviticus. Right? Jesus will say the new commandment is look at the way I have loved you and love another that way. So what does God expect you to give to me? Love. What do you owe me? Romans 13, 8. You owe me nothing but love. What do I owe you? I owe you nothing but love. So I look at the love of Jesus and I use that love to determine the love I give you. Are we together? Right? There's a song we usually sing. Yeah. Your love is great. Your love is beautiful. Yeah. Your love is better than life. Right? Different songs like that around love. Right? The overwhelming love of God. You see? We call it overwhelming. You know why? So that we can overwhelm another with love. How are we together? Right? Oh, they're overwhelming. I mean, how do you call it? Oh, they're overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. That's the template that God gives you as love. What do? You see a template to follow. So what do I owe you? Let me say that differently. I owe you overwhelming love. What do you owe me? You owe me overwhelming love. How are we together? Love will not allow you to treat your neighbor ill. Love will not allow you to evil speak of your neighbor. Love will not allow you to insult your neighbor. Love will not allow you to steal from your neighbor. Love will not allow you to fornicate or commit adultery. Are we together? Why? Because love is the fulcrum by which our interactions, inactions, and actions are defined. Are we together? Let me say that differently. Love is the litmus test by which we know, right, how well we're in alignment to the expectation of God. So the question you want to ask yourself every time, what will Jesus do? You know, we grew up hearing that phrase, WWJD, what will Jesus do? Let me tell you, don't get yourself into a woke generation of those who seem to understand Bible or sound doctrine as it were, and sound theology and sound bite as it were, and they say there's nothing like what will Jesus do. My dear brother, my dear sister, there is always something like what will Jesus do. That is a way you can use to gauge and check your interaction with another. So somebody offends you, what do you say? What will Jesus do? Are we together? When you remember what Jesus do, right, Jesus will do, sorry. You see, you don't need to think of what will Jesus do. Think of what has Jesus done. Are we together? So a good way to say what would Jesus do, WWJD, is WWHJ. I mean, what has Jesus done? Or what has Jesus done? WHJD. WH, job description. Are we together? WHJD. What has Jesus done? Are we together? What has Jesus done sets a template of what Jesus will do. So in matters of evil, what do we expect God to expect from us? Expect God to expect from us a view of the lens of the cross. We expect God to expect from us an expression of love. Let me tell you something. We expect God to expect from us a dominating with love, an overwhelming love given to another. So when man offends you, what do you respond with? You don't respond with evil. Are we together? How does the world expect you to respond? The world expects you to respond with evil for evil. How does the world expect you to respond? The world expects you to respond with evil for evil. How does the world expect you to respond? The world expects you to respond good for evil. Look at Romans 12 again. He says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Go back to verse 20. What does overcome evil with good mean? Overcome evil with good is you are on a table in a relationship with somebody. Are we together? Your friend, your colleague, your best friend, your own best friend, your former best friend, your future best friend, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your father, your mother. You are in every kind of relationship. And on the table, the man who you are in a relationship with, both male or female or whatever the case might be, whatever kind of relationship it is, they bring a plate of evil to the table. What do? You overwhelm the plate with the goodness of God. Are we together? Right? Or they come to the table with evil in their hands, with their eyes, with their breath. Are we together? What do you respond with? Bible says in verse 20, Therefore, if your enemy hunger, so when there is hunger in the land, let me say that differently. When there is hunger in the land of your enemy, what does God expect from you? God expects you to overwhelm that hunger, regardless of enemy or not enemy. You get the point? When you don't overwhelm evil with good, what are you doing? You are one who has shut your bowels of compassion. 1 John 3, 16, 17. John will say, do not be like Cain, the evil one, who is a murderer. Are we together? Right? You cannot say you have the love of God on your inside. We cannot see it in how you demonstrate to another. You will give forgiveness. You will give things. Are we together? In all your giving, we understand how much you love God. So the first commandment is love the Lord with all that, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. What does love the Lord that God with all that mind, with all that soul means? It really means that you receive. Altogether, you receive of his love, right? So God extends his love to you. What do? You receive. Are we together? Yeah? Don't be the one to explain for another and say they will not receive my love. No, extend the love. Let them be the one to reject the love. He said, no, pastor, this one, he said, on this matter, even if I even try to show love, this person will not forgive. It's not about they will not forgive. It is about the same way the love of God is extended to mankind. God so loved the world in such a manner that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, John 3:16, shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God, by default, gives love to every enemy. It is the choice of the enemy to reject or to accept, even though God knows the end from the beginning. Yet you don't know the end from the beginning, so you can't bet the want to be saying that man will not accept of your love. No, the point is your responsibility, your obligation is to ensure that you give love. So when you give love, it's up to them. You've put the ball in their court to either receive or throw away. All together. Yeah, but you don't withhold your love because you think they will not receive from you. Let's assume somebody is hungry, for instance, you know they are hungry, and you will let on your heart to give them food to eat. You now decide you will not give them because you are sure this person's heart is so seared in your relationship and the person hates you. So you decide and say, since this person is already this way towards me, it is 100% certain, I'm certain that this person will not eat the food I give them. Let it be that you give them the food and in the real sense, they reject it. Or you give them the food, they collect it and appreciate it to your face. You have no business with what they do with the food, whether they throw it away or whether they put it in their fridge or whether they put it in the cooler, whatever the case may be. All you have and all that you owe, all that is expected ideally is for you to give. So what do you owe? You owe love. What should you give? You give love. What is expected from you? What is expected from you is the love of the Father that is on your inside to be expressed to every single person. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Now go to James. James. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. James chapter 2. What are we dealing with? Navigating your Bible. What is the focus? The walk of love for the believer. Are we together? What are we dealing with? How to interpret the Bible. So go to James chapter 2. Go all the way to verse 18 or verse 19 or verse 17. Look at verse 17. Even so, if it had not works, is dead being alone. Okay? Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Listen carefully. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But even the devils believe that there is one God as well, and they tremble. Verse 20. But whilst thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Okay, so you don't jump into the middle of a thought without reading from the context. Now go back to chapter 2, verse 1. Or go back to chapter 1, verse 13 first. Look at James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That endureth temptation, right? For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Now look at verse 13. He says, let no man say when he is tempted. So can man be tempted? Yes. Believer, non-believer? Yes. Can man be tempted? Yes. What does James say about man when man is tempted? Verse 13, he says, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So that means God doesn't tempt man with evil. God does not supply man with evil. Whether man does evil or man does good, God does good. altogether. So man does not tempt man. So what does it mean when he says, let no man say that when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he no man. So God cannot tempt man with evil, and God cannot be tempted with you. That means God, man cannot recruit God into his evil tank to execute evil to another man. Altogether. Yeah, you know, I was saying it a few days ago, right? You see somebody does something to you, now say, don't worry, I leave you in the hands of God, you shall see. As long as you live in the hands of God and you shall see, as long as that is what you truly want, right? As long as that's what you truly, let me say that differently, right? If you truly want that man to go scot-free, yes, right? Yeah, you leave him in the hands of God. Because God is the one that with the evil that man brings to the table, God will always meet the evil with good. Are we together, right? So it means that ideally, yeah, if I leave you in the hands of God, right, you will be redeemed in the hands of God. Are we together? God will meet you with love when you come to the gate of his kingdom. Are we together? So there is nobody that God will respond to evil with evil. So what is the arm that God stretches towards man? It is the arm of love, well fisted and knitted and well dipped into the heavens, into the fullness of his love. You get the point? Yeah? So God is full of love. God will always give love. God will always respond with love. God will never respond with that which is not love, because love is the fullness that which God can give. You see, think about a foam. If God is supposed to be used as an illustration with a foam, and you soak a foam in the deep water of his, or in a water, in a deep bucket with full of soapy water, when you bring that foam out and touch on the table, no matter the pressure you apply on that foam, what will come out from that foam is soapy water. That is the love of God. So you cannot recruit God. Are we together? Yeah? Don't worry, you shall see. Except I be a man of God. Except I be a man. Now, can men say that's those kind of things and something happens? Yes, 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 yes. It does happen. Yeah? Elijah called man, called bears from the bush to come and destroy people. It happened. Are we together? Yeah? Yeah? People dishonored Moses. And what happened? We saw an execution of what you call leprosy. Are we together? It's in scriptures. Are we together? You say that's Old Testament, okay? Yeah, there was a man to whom a husband and a wife lied to, Peter. And whilst he was bringing words on them, the effect of those words led to death. It means that the words that he said were very deep. Are we together? Right? So the words he said were very deep. But let me tell you what did not happen with Peter. Peter was not successful enough to recruit God into his plan to kill Ananias and Sapphira. You get the point? Yeah? You get the point? What should you learn from that lesson? Don't be dishonorable to God's servants. Yeah? Learn it. Pick it. Yeah? Don't think that, oh, I can do anything and get away with it. It's not always like that. Because Peter, who will do that at the early phase of his ministry, we don't have a record of him killing anybody again throughout his entire ministerial life. Altogether, so that you don't find yourself in the growing, you don't find yourself to reap results of men that are growing, or you find yourself in the growing face of a man. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? You see, I'm trying to say that if Ananias and Sapphira did the same thing when Peter was already writing the book of 1 Peter, or when Peter was already doing all manners of, you know, exegesis with Paul and all the likes, there's every tendency those folks will not die. Ananias and Sapphira. Are we together? Right? So the question remains, what should Peter have done? Peter should have met them with the love of God. So man came to lie to Peter. What should Peter have done? Peter should have responded with their teeth, not with tat or tat tat or tat tat tat, but teeth with the love of God, with the mercies of God. That is why man needs to keep renewing their mind. If not, man will always respond to evil with evil. It's important to know these things. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Right? So make sure you mark these things and you remind yourself of this. So why are you now? James 1. He says, man cannot be, so God cannot be tempted. It means even though man tries to tempt God, God does not yield to man's temptation. God does not yield to man's recruiting into a camp of evil, of good people or evil fighting people. Altogether, God does not give in. He does not budge. Yeah, he does not try it. He does not attempt it. Yeah, he does not give in. He does not try in. He does not respond. Yeah. So what will scripture teach? Put anger away, put wrath away, put all manners of things. So when somebody gets you upset, rather than trying to use 5 days to recruit God into your camp so that that guy or that brother or that sister will fall down and die, what do you do? Put anger away, put wrath away. Pastor, but it's not that easy. I'm telling you what the word says. The word does not give a disclaimer that this is not easy. So whether it is easy or not, it is the word, and that is what the word expects. So what do you expect to give to everyone that does evil to you? You are expected to give love. At what point is love too much? At no point. Are we together? At no point. Yeah, do you know why? The cap or the height of love demonstrated for you was in the death of Jesus. Are we together? So it means that love will make another to die for another, which is what God did for you. So Jesus laid down his life for your sake. And 1 John 3 says, and the like manner, in such a manner, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So the life of the believer is not a selfish life, but a what? Selfless life. You ought to live a selfless life. What is a selfless life? A selfless life is a life that is less of self involved in how you demonstrate and interact with others. What is a selfish life? A selfish life is the life where you are all about yourself. You, yourself, and I. Me. You are the only one pastor or friends. You are the only one choir leader or friends. You are the only one that brother cell leader or friends. You are the same only person that a media team member upset. You are the same person that the person who is doing protocol upset. Only you. That is a selfish person. You can't be the one to always take, you know, to always be offended by people. Are we together? What did John ask them to say to Jesus? Is he the one, or are we expecting another? Right? What did Jesus respond to? Tell him, do not take offense in me. All together. It is not that your feelings are not valid. Yeah, although sometimes your feelings are not valid. Yeah, but the truth is, let's even talk about the matters of when your feelings are valid. God's word still highlights the fact that you ought to always give love. Your feelings valid, your feelings not valid, what is expected is love. So you don't wake up and start doing master plan as how, you know, like Absalom, for instance. Yeah, Absalom is an example of one who kept quiet for 2 years, creating a master plan with the aim of killing his brother, which he eventually did. Bible says for 2 years, he never said good nor bad, yet it was evil. He went back to his Microsoft project plan and started plotting out plan, initiation phase, right? Phase 2, phase 3. He now went to conclusion. And after he killed Amnon, he did what you call lessons learned. All in the name of trying to rebate back or to recompense back to a man who slept with his sister. Are we together? The man that slept with his sister, if love filled his heart, he will not do that, right? So what did the man that slept with his sister do? He did something evil. What did Absalom do to meet the man that slept with his sister? He did something evil. So they both did something evil. On no pedestal is one evil better than the other. If at all we are to measure a better evil, the better evil is the first evil. I did not just say what you just heard. I just said what I just said. I said what I said. Is that the name of that podcast? Yeah? Yeah? I did not just say what you just heard. I just said what I said. Yeah? The greater evil is usually going to be the one with which you recompense to, the one you respond with. So Absalom keeps quiet for years, and for 2 years plans the downfall of Amnon with the goal of wanting to also kill his father. And guess what happens? He goes all into the journey, and he gets on the journey and gets into interaction with a man called Ahithophel, the counselor of David. And what happens? Yeah, Ahithophel became the chief right-hand man of Absalom to give all the details, are we together, of David. What is that? Not love work. That is evil. Are we together? Yeah? What does that happen in local church? Yes. Are we together? How does that happen? You see someone who is grunting. You see someone who is hot. You see someone who is exhibiting kingdoms of darkness principles. And what do? You, in the camp of David, begin to take information from the camp of David and go and pour it down on the table of Absalom. Who are you? You are an Absalom. Are we together? Yeah? You are an Absalom. Are we together? Yeah? So, is that love work? No. Altogether, you are not walking in love even towards that person. Yeah, you are not walking in love. Yeah, that church. If you see what they did on Sunday, and you are clearly see, I'm saying, as a matter of fact, that conversation does not have to leave the local church. Yeah, and you need to learn it very well. I mean, to be very smart. Yeah, you know what you have and guard what you have. It's very, very important. You know, like I said yesterday, right? A lot of times you think it's always better for you to go and run down all manners of things to people. More often than not, you'll find that you're not helping yourself. You're not helping another. Because even when time comes for you to forgive, you know how the mind works? It makes you now feel accountable to the person you've told about the evil things that somebody else did to you. So what do? When people persecute you, when people use you, are we together? When people use you, there's a way Matthew says it, right? When people despitefully use you, what do? You pray for them. Pastor, what should I pray for them? The prayer is the same prayer you were praying before you actually got offended. Yeah? Yeah? But Pastor, I used to pray for them. Yeah? That's the revelation of your heart. Because if you were really praying for them, it will help you in a way to receive the hurt when eventually it would have happened. Now, this does not disqualify the heart or how you feel. No, this actually qualifies you to live above the principle and the dynamics that works behind the scene of wrath and anger. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, so man, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted ye any man. Are we together, right? Now look at verse 14. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Yeah? What did we read in Romans chapter 13, the last verse there, right? Romans 13. Remember that last verse? Let me just run there and just read that again. Romans 13. We read something in that last verse there. It says, put ye on Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, right? And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So provision for the flesh will fulfill lust. Yeah? You ask and miss and receive. Remember, we are going there this evening. God help us to get there. Right? So he says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Yeah? If you don't need a phone, you don't like a phone, if you walk into a store where they are selling the phone, you will not think of stealing it. Altogether. So when you see a phone that you love and nobody is watching you, it is because you are in lust. All together, right? So it is your desire. Look at verse 15. It now tells you further. It says, when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So lust, first, conceived lust. Second, then it brings forth sin. All together, right? And when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Then sin leads to death, right? Yeah, the presence of sin is what, the presence of sin is what brought death to the sin. The presence of sin brought death to the sin. Hallelujah. I need to open a different podcast. Yeah. Now look at verse 16. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. Are we together? Right? Look at verse 20. For the wrath of God. Let's go back. I just saw something. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his creature. Now look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, who are the beloved brethren? Those from the womb of the resurrection. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, by default, slow to wrath. Be quick to hear. Try to be twice a listener than a speaker. It will help you. Don't just talk the things that come to your mind. And Pastor, you know, I always like to say my mind. No, and that thing you say, Pastor, wants to your mind. You want to insult somebody. Are we together? No, it's a different thing if you want to say your mind about a business that you can go into that will give me £1 million. I like that mind. Yeah, but when it comes to conversations with people, what does the Bible teach about the mind? The Bible does not teach, say your mind. The Bible does not teach. You know, some people are so naughty. Are we together? We now have the concept of my truth. It is my truth. What kind of nonsense is that? Are we together? Yeah, this is my truth. I will speak my truth. It is that truth or it is not true. Which one is it? It is my truth. Are we together? Were you drunk when something was happening? Were you drunk when life was moving? Or which one is it? It is my truth. Yeah, it's either truth or it's not. Are we together? Right? It's either it is true or it is not. Don't get yourself to a place where you make something that is not true become a reality. People are good at what I'm just saying. Are we together? People are so good at what I'm just saying. They are so good at what I'm saying, and it baffles me. Yeah, you find people pick stories, and I believe that people like that, a lot of times they go to their house, they look at themselves in the mirror, they say a story to the person in the mirror, and own the story from the mirror. This is what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah, they own the story from me, and I'm like, how did you get to this conclusion? How did we get here? What were we talking about? How did you get here? I would get that. That's the way people are. Altogether, that's the way people are, right? Yeah, in the real sense of things, what should you always do? Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak and be quick to hear. If you are quick to hear, you will pay more attention to God's word. Yeah, quick to hear will mean you will pay more attention to God's word. That's the truth. Yeah, did I say quick to hear? What was even saying again? Swift to hear, rather, and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Altogether, right? Someone comes and tell you, yeah, because you want to show that you are all almighty defender. Someone comes and tell you that person stopped me on the road and did not allow me to come home. Before you know it, you wear your clothes, you tie your wrapper, you tie your face cap, you go there with muscle, you go and remove your shirt, you wear singlet and go there and say, who on earth is that? Altogether, now that does not mean that there's no place for getting yourself to get all the right social justice and all of those things. That's what I'm saying. But I'm trying to say, there is something as though being twice a listener than a speaker. Pastor, I want to tell you my mind. Pastor, either you believe me or not, I don't care, but this is my truth. More often than not, people, have you not seen it around? That, you know, I heard a pastor say something very, 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 very trivial, very, very, was sensitive, right? And it was mind-boggling, right? He said something very, very interesting. He said that in his years of being in ministry, right? I'm just paraphrasing. In his years of being in ministry, right? Let me just be very conservative with this number, but I know it's more than that. They say over 60% or 70% of times that people have been accused on some matter, I spoke about a particular matter, right? That they eventually found out that they were false. He actually said more than 60%. He actually said, I'm just being very conservative. Altogether. So, people can sit down, generate a lie, and convince themselves that it is the truth. Let me now tell you what I'm saying. In case that happens to you, what do you do? Yeah, you will meet that evil with love. You will meet that evil with love. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, you meet that evil with love. You see, that's why we always say, I've said this seven times, I'm going to say it again publicly, right? Again, right? That is why in God's palace, we don't tolerate people to speak their dialect. Don't speak your dialect with your husband in the church. Don't speak your dialect. I don't know how I got here, but I'm sure this is for someone. Don't speak your dialect with your wife in the church. Don't speak your dialect with your husband in the church. That's why we use English. It's a different thing if that's the area of the world where we go and plant a church, and that's the predominantly spoken language. But you see, when we are an English church, you listen to the sermon in English. You share the grace in English. Speak English. I've had to come into scenarios to help people from issues when somebody says something in a different dialect, and eventually what now happened, right? The person, the third party thought they were insulting the person, and they had to bring the matter to my table. I always say, don't speak dialect. Don't speak pidgin English. Let me make it very clear. Don't speak pidgin English in church. I'm not saying, let's try and admonish ourselves to try as much not to. Listen to me carefully. Don't speak pidgin in church. Don't speak broken in church. Don't speak, when you want to speak pidgin, quickly run to your car. Speak your pidgin, then run inside the church. All together. Yet once you step out of the confines of the church, yet you can speak whatever you want to speak, right? But when we are together, we must always ensure that we try to put our checks and balances that will affect the evil that devil wants to use to divide us. All together, right? There's nothing like Yoruba community. My Igbo community, that I don't speak Yoruba as great. Are we together, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. You know, it took some members in Nigerian church a couple years to know where I came from or where I come from. Yeah, it took some members. Yeah, yes. I was shocked when one of our leaders at some point did not even know where I come from. Are we together? I'm happy that way. Yeah, because when we come to church matters, it is we are from Zion. Yeah, don't pick your friends based on your ethnicity. Don't pick your friends because you are all from France. Don't pick your friends because you are all from Imo. Don't pick your friends because you are all from whatever state it is. Right? We are all born again, resurrected children of God in Zion. So I'm giving that instruction. Right? You keep your dialect in the house. You keep your pidgin English in the house. You keep all those forms of communication in the house. All together. At least so that we'll help our people who need to be swift to speak, swift to hear. Are we together? Well, so it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, right? For the wrath of man, verse 20, walketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Now let's read 22 together, 1, 2, 3, go. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Lot of us can only hear the word, we cannot do the word. Altogether, you know, I gave you an instruction a couple days ago, right? Thank God nobody has reached out to me, right? I'm assuming, let me assume that somebody is waiting, or people are waiting to for the whole series to be finished. Yeah, if anybody is in God's palace and you are having malice with a leader and you are trying to resolve the matter with the leader and the leader is still keeping you, is still dealing with you as though you don't exist, call, just, I told you, just write mal. If I don't write malice, just write mali. Yeah, just write mali and put the person's name in comma and put it beside it. Are we together? Right? Yeah, you need people in your life to remind you of this fundamental fact about your true reality, your true identity. Like I said, it's something you should not be proud of to be keeping malice with another. I'm not saying keeping malice with another believer. I say keeping malice with another. With another. With another. Okay? You thought somebody had a job opening in their office and they did not invite you to apply for it. What is it? You move on with life. It is life. It is life. Altogether, you know, I was talking about it a couple of days ago, right? There's a sense of entitlement that a lot of times used to deal with us. Altogether, don't be entitled to people's labor. Don't be entitled to people's money. Yeah, you ask someone for money, right? They give you money. You say, is that all? You will not say it to the people. Don't even have the very few people are that gullible to be able to say that to the face of their helper. But they will go back and go and talk to other people. Hey, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine that this all this person could see me? Yeah, you can see me finish. Right? Can you imagine this is all this person could have taught me, could have deemed me fit to send? You are just an entitled person. But what did I say earlier in the week? You have a problem. You have a problem. I have a problem. I have a problem. That's just reality. Yeah? Don't always feel entitled to people's money. Don't feel entitled to people's time. Altogether. Don't feel entitled to people's private space or privacy. Altogether, you see, let's learn to stay comfortable, right, with boundaries that people set for you and the boundaries you set for yourself. Learn to stay comfortable with it. You get the point? Yeah? So, if every believer does the world will be a better place. But we have a lot of believers who will not do the world. What is your expectation? Don't think of the people who are not doing the world. You know, one of the things I found out in the Christian faith as well is a lot of us as Christians, we do a little good works in the Christian faith and do a little good works here and there and do the world a little here and there. But we always compare ourselves that we're doing better than most of our friends when it comes to the good works and the love of God. Yeah, that's not a godly way to view life. Let me give you an example. In your church, for instance, right, your pastor is saying your service time is Saturday and Sunday. Come to church every Saturday and Sunday, right? And you say, well, I'm even coming every Sunday and even sometimes Saturday, right? What about those people who don't even come on Sunday and come once in a while on Saturday? Eh? That's somebody who doesn't want to grow. You are a child. You are a baby. Grow up. All together. Yeah. Your mates are looking at other people who have gone ahead. And that's why it's always very bewildering when people say you are comparing them in church. Are we together? It's so bewildering, right? You know why? Because there are people who are in the Christian faith that set a template for us. Are we together, right? So we look at them, we emulate them. Now, if as your pastor, I see you are not seeing those examples that emulate, what do? I call your attention to it. I can call you and say, you see that brother. Yeah, you are not going through what they are going through and they are serving Jesus. It is the reality. Like I always say, it will never stop. It cannot stop. Yeah, it cannot stop altogether, right? If there is a sister, if there is a brother who is leading as a good, solid example on a matter, I will call their name and give them as examples to you if you are not living up to that standard. It's the reality. If you go and start your church, life is easier. Start your church, build your own leadership, build your praise team. Life is free. You have the money. You have venues are never scarce. You get the point? Yeah? That's why you always see scriptures. We will see the mention of people's name to show us both examples of good conduct. I want to get that. There will be a man called Epaphroditus in scriptures, right? That Paul will use to give as an example in scripture. And there will also be another man called Onesimus. There will be Philemon. I want to get that, right? There will be those Philetus and Hymenus. There will be good example, bad example. It must be used in the church. Feel free to start a church where you only use parables. There was a man in 1922. He lived in Babylon, then came from the ancient Greek word. That's your own. That's just what it is. But you see, in God's palace, we would always use that example. Are we together? Right? So if I say, see that brother forgave that sister. And let's say you are not forgiving somebody. It is left for you to drop your ego and look at that brother and emulate the brother. It's simple. It's simple. I scolded someone a couple months ago. Right? What was I saying? You are saying you have a child. You cannot do this. I'm saying there is someone that has two children that is doing it. What is your excuse? It is life. And I'm saying it publicly. It is life. It is the reality of life. All together. Yeah? Don't just wrap yourself and want everybody to pity you. My work in your life is not to pity you. Thank God you are not paying me. That's what I'm saying. Yeah? Thank God you are not paying me. Right? So if you're not paying me, it means I need to stick to what God expects for you, for your life. And I will tell you when you need to hear it. And let me also say it clearly, right? When I tell you what God wants you to change or to modify from God's word primarily, there's every tendency you might not like it. It just really shows. See, when you see those kind of things get to you, it's a sign to show you need to grow up. You get the point? Yeah. So you can't get yourself in a point where you're always trying to allow people to just, you know, to just walk on eggshells around you. You're not an egg. Are we together? You are not an egg. Yeah. You are not an egg. Everybody has what they're, you know, I always tell you. Yeah. I highly doubt there are a few people who have kind of spoken to me on conversations they are going through, that are going through up to half of what I am going through as a pastor. You know, I said it a couple days ago, I said it again on Sunday. The person who goes through church hurt the most in the church is the pastor. Nobody does it than the pastor. Any church you see where people are, there is nobody who goes through church hurt than the pastor. Not one person. Yeah, because like I said, one person might offend, two people might offend, the pastor, they might be five or six at a time, at a given time. And it's the reality. What is expected from the pastor? The pastor should not respond with tit for tat. The pastor should respond tit with the goodness of God. The pastor should respond tit with believing still the best of people. Altogether, that's why you can't live a life effective in this world as a believer without always believing the best of people. Regardless of whatever the flaws are, the step on you step on them, you must believe in them. Why? Because God will use men to help your life. Every man is the product of another man. Even if you say nobody has helped you in your life, at least you don't give birth to yourself. Every man is a product of another man. So your relationships are so vital and they will determine where you will find yourself in the nearest future. It's just the reality. Altogether. Yeah. So if someone comes and says, Pastor, you know, I cannot come to church on Sunday. Why? Because I'm doing business. What business are you doing? What are you there first? Let me say it differently. Yeah. It is expected that if you are a CEO of the top bank in the world, you should be, as a believer, it is expected you are committed to the Christian faith. It is expected you are a committed disciple in a local church. Very important. Very important. Very important. Altogether, very important. I was talking to a friend a couple of hours ago, right? And you just gave me a very interesting random example. And I was saying, so he was going through, you know, a very tight schedule and lots of things on his plate and everything. And he said as he was going through that, he just thought about me. And he just said, so he called my nickname, YBJ. So he said, like, so YBJ goes through this in life. And after this matter like this, he will still think of ministry. And it is it now, yeah? Do you know what my week has had to be like in the last few days? Yeah, but yet I'm still here, right? Yeah, I'm busy, oh, forget it, oh. I highly doubt at this phase of God's palace, there's any of you at this phase of God's palace. There is none of you as busy at this phase of God's palace. There's none of you as busy as me. None of you. None of you. None of you. None of you. Yeah, none of you. So no matter what it is, it means that you can still put your heart in service of God. So if as your pastor, I come to caution you about how you need to put in more effort in serving God, just drop your ego and put in more effort in serving God. I don't get better from your service to God. You get better. Get the most. Are we together? You get the most. And always don't think of yourself as someone who is irreplaceable. No, life is always more than you. There is something that is bigger than each of us, and it is all of us. Remember I said that, yeah, a few days ago on Wednesday. Yeah, pastor said that, right? Yeah, there is something bigger than each of you, each of us, and it is all of us. Right? So if you are corrected on a matter, yeah? So let's assume I correct you. You don't like how much I correct you. What should you do? You owe me love. You owe me love. You owe me love. Are we together? Yeah? Yeah? Let me tell you, more often than not, the only reason why I correct you is because I owe you love. Yeah? Love brings correction. Are we together? Love brings correction. Yeah? I cannot claim to love you. And in my love for you, I cannot tell you where you need to amend your ways. It means there's a problem. It means there is something wrong. You can't have all things all figured out. No, that's not life. That's why you can't successfully live life with guides in your life in different spheres of life. It's expected. You get the point, right? So you must always remind yourself that there is somebody doing in a more tedious situation than you are, right? There is somebody in a more tedious situation than you are, right? That's still serving God effectively. As life we have it, you can think of your pastor in God's palace. Altogether, you can think of your pastor in God's palace. It's what it is. Is what it is. Yeah? Why am I saying it this way? Because for some of you, if I don't say it, you might not think it. You might think I cannot partake or have not tasted of the burdens of your heart. It's not true. You're not that busy. Like, let me say it again clearly. You are not missing my words. So there is nobody in God's palace today, Nigeria, UK, abroad, Canada, anywhere, God's palace representative. Right? Not one person in church today. Who I'm saying, merge your Christian life and ministry life together. Merge it as one. None of you. Merge it together as one. In fact, so for some of you, it's multiplied by two. If I draw my calendar, I was talking to somebody a few days ago, saying my calendar for 2026 is almost fully exhausted. Yeah? Almost fully exhausted. If I run you down the things I'm going through, or the things, let me say that differently. If I run down the things I'm planning to do and execute over the next few days, talk more, few months, right? You open your mouth and you say, what? Yeah? Why am I saying it this way? So that you too, you can understand that really life is actually more than you. There are people as well who are in more difficult situation than you are. Forget this tie, yo. It's not by tie, yo. Are we together? It's not by tie. We are just wearing tie so that the YouTube video will look good, right? We've got a lot behind the scene. But you see what we always tell ourselves? That it is worth it. So if for any point you are corrected on the matter because it is worth it, think about it, that it is worth it. Praise God forevermore, right? So if for any reason, right, like I was saying yesterday, if for any reason, right, you have an issue with a correction, what do you do? Yeah, if at all you have to speak about it, the first person you speak to is the person who you have the issue with. You get the point, right? And if you are not ripe enough to talk about it with the person you have an issue with, what do? You pray till you are ripe. Sometimes you might speak to one person carelessly, and that one person you speak to carelessly might make things worse. Why? Because the person is trying to show, you know why people do that way? Because they're trying to show what they call empathy, but it's foolishness. No, it's not empathy, it's foolishness. When somebody brings a matter to you, and all of a sudden you take the matter off with your full shoulder because you want to show the person that you've got their back, yeah? And you just by, that's what James says now. He says, be slow, be swift to hear and slow to speak. You get the point? Yeah? It's not wise, yeah? Be swift. Look at it again. It says, be swift in verse 19. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to love. All together, right? Yeah. So who do you speak to when you have a matter? Yeah. When Bible will teach, when two brethren are having an issue, what do? You go with yourself alone. If nobody goes, you go with one trusted party alone. If everybody goes, what? You call the church. Are we together? Right. And if the church goes and tries to intervene and notice it, what do? You hand such a one to what? Satan for destruction of the flesh. I just met Corinthians together with that. Anyways, let me try and see if I can touch this scripture today. Now look at John in chapter 2. Hope you're learning. He says, my beloved brethren, have not faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to person. For if there come unto your assembly a man with gold ring or in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. So the gay clothing there will be the clothing that is expensive of the rich. And say unto you, sit thou here in a good place and say to the poor, stand thou there or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do they not blaspheme and the worthy name of by which you are called? And if you fulfill the real law according to the scripture, thou shalt what? Love your neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. You see the same concept. So what is James teaching? The real law. What's the real law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So how did Jesus call it in John chapter 13 verse 34? He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love your neighbor and love one another as I have loved you. You get the point, right? So he now says, if you fulfill the real law according to the scriptures, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. You know what he's teaching here? You are in a local church, somebody with expensive perfume and expensive Bulgari bag, right? And you can just say expensive. You bring them to you and say, come, we've got a seat for you. You bring them to the front. Then you look at somebody again at the door who is not looking as presentable as that person. What do? You put them, you know, churches do it. I heard of a church that when you come to the church, the ushers at the door, they sample what you look like. And depending on what you look like, the direction in which they will point you to will be. So it means if I'm at the door, for instance, you look good, I point you here. You look good, I point you here. You don't look good, I point you here. So when I'm pointing you here, you think it's just that I want to balance the return. No, it's that I want to put you in a place where your face will not show in the camera. Altogether, I heard this from a very first-hand reliable information, really. And it was so sad to hear, right? So that's how people behave. What are you doing? They're having respect of person. Let me also say it in the love walk way. Yeah, some people, the only reason why they will not get angry with somebody is because that's the person that is feeding them. Are we together? Because they have gay clothing. They have what to benefit. Praise God forevermore. Right? So, he says, look at verse 10. But whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Are we together? Right? For he that said, right, do not commit adultery, said also do not kill. Right now, if thou commit adultery, yet if thou kill, thou hast become a transgressor of the law. So to transgress against the law is to falter in one. That's what I'm saying. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. It says, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that had shown no mercy, and mercy will just say against judgment. Look at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he had faith and have not works? Can faith save him? For the resurrection, yes, faith can save him. When it comes to conduct, what is it teaching? Thou shalt love thy neighbor. So the faith he's talking about here is expression of faith, not receiving of faith. So there are two aspects of faith, the receiving of faith and the expression of faith. What is it focusing on? Right? Look at verse 1. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to person. It means don't convert what you receive and have respect to person in your expression. Did you get that? Don't convert what you receive and have respect to persons in your expression. Very important, right? So can faith save him? It says in verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, 1 John 3, you shut your bowels of compassion, and one of you say to them, depart in peace and be filled. Someone comes and tell you that they are hungry and you have money in your pocket. And what do you say? You say, bring your hand, let me lay hands on you. Receive it. Right? It says, ye warmed, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Altogether, look at verse 17. It now says, even so. So for us to say, even so faith, it means that he's teaching about your response to faith in your expression of faith from what you've received as faith or in faith. Right? So even so faith, if it had not worked, so if you have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the work is not evident, it is dead. That word dead means inoperative. Are we together? So even so faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. So your faith is not to be faith alone. It is to be faith and works. Faith and works does not mean you have faith that God will give you a job before January and you start applying for a job from now, between now and January. Yeah, that's your works and faith. No. That's not what he's teaching. Faith without works here is teaching the conduct that is expected from a man of faith. So faith, if it had not works, is dead. Remember, don't forget, he's teaching from the concept of the royal law. The royal law says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou hast been loved. Yeah, that is equal to thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he says in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without my works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well, but devil also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He now goes to Abraham to show how the expression of faith was seen in the narrative of Abraham's story. He goes further as well and gives an example of Rahab the harlot in verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Right? So there is justification by works and there is justification by faith. Justification by works ideally should be an expression of justification by faith. Hopefully that's clear. We've taught this over the years. Now where I'm going to is chapter 3. Look at verse 26 of chapter 2. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Hope you're looking into your Bibles, right? So faith without works is dead. Now look at verse 3. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now it says, for if in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man. Do you see that? Yeah? If any man offend not in words, the same is that man is the perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So it means your tongue is that which bridles your body. Your tongue is what is that which sets your atmosphere aright. Yeah, look at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. Have you seen a horse? Right? There's something always in the horse's mouth. What does that do? It is to give direction to the horse. Look at that again. It says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. It is to put direction in the horse's mouth to give control. Hallelujah. Yeah, right? And we turn about their whole body. So with the bit in the mouth, so what is it teaching? It's teaching about words of the mouth. Yeah? So with the bit in the mouth, horses obey man. And that bit in the mouth can make the horse be, and can turn the body of the horse. Now look at verse 4. Behold also, so I'm just going to read through, right? And James chapter 4 will now make sense to you. Okay? What is it teaching? Conduct. Royal law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. It leads into chapter 3, right? Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive great condemnation. Now look at verse 4. Behold also the sheeps. Right, which though they be so big or great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So the one who drives the sheep, very small helm is what turns the entire sheep, no matter how big it is. Are you following? He now tells you, he now uses the example, verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member. Are we together? And he boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So your tongue can put fire on places where there should not be fire. Yeah? Your words. You see, you can use your words to quench the works of the devil. You get that? You can use your words to quench the works, the vices of the devil. Very important. You can use your words to quench the vices of the devil. You know, like I said yesterday, if someone comes and tells you a bad thing about somebody else, and you tell the person, please, can you, you know, like I said before, I've done this several times. Yeah, and I'll use this example again, right? I've had people who have felt they had the guts to talk negatively against my pastor to me, to my face, not even behind me, to my face, right? And I said something. I said, where I was some 10 years ago, because this has started about 10 years ago, thereabout, right? Where I was 10 years ago, right? There are some people who I just felt there was a sense of regard and respect I should have for them. So I just, you know, sit down, try to, you know, get myself to move past the conversation or change the topic quickly, right? But what I do is the moment I leave their sight, the punishment I have is to go and pick a full series and start listening to it all together, right? Yeah, I did it. But let me tell you, most of the people were not people in that category. So most of the people were people who ideally were not in that category. Let me leave it at that point. Yeah. And for all of them, all amongst the most, yeah, I gave them strict warning in your life. Do you know the funny thing? From the first to the last, because it can never happen again at this, I don't think it can happen at this phase of my life right now, yeah? But from the first to the last at that point, none of them till that day, right, has said a word about pastor to me. None from then till now. For some, it's as much as 8, 9 years. For some, it's as much as 10 years. Altogether, right? None, not one, has been able to open their mind. You know, what did I do? I used my words to look at it again. It says, a tongue is a fire, and the word of iniquity. No, sorry, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. I used my words to quench fire. Altogether. All right. I didn't use my words to spark the fire. Amen. If you know, you know. Yeah, I didn't use my words to spark the fire, right? I used my words to quench the fire. Praise God forevermore. Right? Yeah. So you must learn that attitude. When you speak to somebody, like I said yesterday, if you are the one who people always feel you are the one, they must always come and report other people to you, particularly if you are not even linked. You know, there's some people, right? Yeah. If they want to tell you certain things, it might be because they met the person they're talking about through you. That's a different conversation. Or you are all mutual friends. That's different. There's that, but people random, you just met random. I know you said they just feel you are the right person that, particularly when your LinkedIn profile does not show chief consultant and therapist of whatever institution it is, right? What does that really mean? It means that there's something you've executed. You've not used your words well in the relationship. All together, right? So when you tell somebody, right, don't ever speak against this person, or don't even come and bring this kind of news to me again. Or when you tell somebody that is feeling so hot, say, well, you see, my brother, you know, eventually we still have to forgive. That's God's word. Yeah. Next time, if they don't change and forgive, if they have any issue like that, they won't come to you. You've used your words to quench fire. You have a way to use your words to instigate more fire. Some people are hating other people today only because of the words that the person they spoke to said to them when they heard what they said. You know what I just said, right? Yeah. Some people are disliking other people today just because the words when they said. So I'm saying maybe they had an issue with themselves, and one of the parties told another party, and what that another party told one of the parties, right, is what is making that one of the parties not talk to the other party. Eh? Is that so? We're gonna occupy it. Me? You know me, I don't take nonsense. I don't take nonsense. I don't take nonsense. When I was in secondary school, when I was your mother's uncle's age, if I were me, you know what I would have done? I would have given him a dirty slap. That's the kind of person that what allows fire to burn. You said now that initially supposed you were even thinking of one part of your Christian heart was saying, forgive, forgive, forgive. Those words will just quench that thing. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And you start wishing, if I had known, I'd have just stabbed him. If I had known, I'd have just taken his life. If I had known, I'd have just slapped him and say sorry later. Yeah, that's how words work. Yeah, so use your words wisely. All together, right? Use your words wisely. Only a foolish person does not use their words wisely. Yeah, you see, words are like pouring water into a basket. All together, right? When you are pour water into a basket, the water, you won't have the water back. Water doesn't stay in a basket, right? Once words come out, you know now, if words come out, it takes more effort to undo the words than to do it. And if at all you undo it. Because there are words people will say to you, can never forget. There are words people have said to me, I can't forget in my entire life. Never forget in my entire life. That's words. Altogether. Such that no matter what forgiveness I have done and still walking in, those words are still those words. Learn to allow your words to be more seasoned and gracious. Learn to allow your words to be more full of light. Use good words on your partners. Use good words on your parents. Use good words on your children. Use good words on yourself. Yeah? Your son or your daughter should not do something to you. And first they see your head, monkey. Let me ask you, if your daughter is a monkey, then you are a monkey. Because except there's something wrong with your reproductive system. Because how can you as human give birth to a monkey? So if you verify your child is a monkey, you are a monkey. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Look at you. Look at you. See his head. I didn't give my parents that this trouble. Who told you? Who told you? You that they almost wanted to lock inside dungeon. Yeah, I didn't give my parents. Nobody can stress me. I didn't give my parents everybody. Has what they gave their parents. Everybody's parents saw. If your parents didn't see, best believe they were praying for you. They were interceding for you that any issue that you have, no matter what it is, you should come out of it. All together, right? So it's just what it is. Don't use your words to break people down. Don't use your words to break. Use your words to build people up. Use your words to build people up. Don't use your words to break people down. Let me tell you, you had better shut your mouth than to say the wrong words. altogether. Yeah, see, let me tell you, you should be a believer who from time to time you're about to see something, say, blah, 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 blah. You know, I do it as a pastor. Yeah, I'm about to say something to you. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it shows maturity, it shows growth. You're about to say something. Blah, 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 blah. Altogether, let me tell you, sometimes let me tell you, if somebody does some things to you, right, and you know there are wrong people around you as friends who you shouldn't tell us anything, you know what you do? Let's assume you message them and say, I want to have a very important discussion with you, right? This is not the person that offended you, someone you want to just gist the story. I want to have a very important conversation with you. Yeah, just stop as a chat and go and pray for 5 hours. And the person you are praying for is the person you want to go and report. You cannot report that person again. When the person now calls you, say, I thought you had something important to say, you say, it's just this my neighbor that was just, you know, trying to, well, you know, it just, yeah, and that's not this issue. Yeah, because prayer changes the heart of man. Altogether, right? Yeah, sometimes start, in fact, let it be that you want to go and report another person to another person. You drove your fuel to the person's house. You parked the person's house. You climbed the staircase to the opposite of the person's house and you sat on their bed. Right? As you're about to just open your mind, the Spirit of God convince you. Don't suppress the Spirit of God. Yeah, just say, well, I just wanted to spend time with you. Or you can even be as very direct. I just feel like I'm not going to speak about it again. Or say, I had the nudge not to speak about it again. Then God bless you. You now have good friends who will say, oh, praise God and move on. If you have some kind of friends that some people have, they will try to use the story to come out. Eh? They will start calling you all the names of people they think you should have problem with. Eh? Is it Timothy? Is it Samson? Yeah? Is it? Could it be your wife? And before you know it, you too, you know what you do to those kind of people? Use your mouth to say, no, it's okay. Don't bother asking any question. I'm not going to tell you. You get the point? Yeah? It's important to say that, right? Sometimes it might be that you don't even have the right words to say. Yeah? So it says, the tongue, brittle fire. Now look at verse 6. It says, and the tongue is a fire and a word of iniquity. So is the tongue, yeah, amongst our members. That it defiled the whole body. So just the same way the helm affects the direction of the sheep and the bit affects the direction of the horse, the same way your tongue. So what is it teaching about? Is it talking about this fleshly thing in your mouth, tongue, or your words? It's using the narrative of tongue to speak of words. So it's not saying this, your tongue, is a problem. No, it's saying the words that proceed from your mouth can be problematic or can help another or save another. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, that's the use of parables in scripture. Right? What are we doing? We started reading from 1 James chapter 1. Now look at verse, it says that it defiled the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Look at verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and had been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. There we bless with God, even the Father, and there we curse with men, which are made after the similitude of God. Altogether. So who are those that are made after the similitude of God? Those are believers. Altogether. Right? Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing. So he's trying to address a matter right now. Just be watching. He says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not be so. Yeah, I'm trying to wrap up this series right now. Yeah? So this is the summary of everything. Yeah, your mouth producing blessing and cursing. How well are your words of your mouth edifying? Are your words of your mouth bringing edification or bringing curses? Are we together? Are your words of your mouth building up or pulling down? Are the words of your mouth restoring relationships or they are breaking relationships? Are you the trigger that separates people and you find pleasure in separating people? You are eager in separating people. Very important. Yeah, out of the mouth, same mouth produces blessing and cursing, my brethren. This is not be so. Look at verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? So what is sweet water and bitter water? Blessing and curse. Yeah, so follow that trajectory. Look at verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Blessing and curse. Are we together? Either a vine tree, can it bear figs? Blessing and curse. He's trying to say blessing and curse are two opposite things that should not come from the same tongue. Altogether. So can no fountain both yield salt and fresh water? What is salt and fresh water? Blessing and curse. What is vine and fig? Blessing and curse. What is bear olives and berries? Blessing and curse. What is fountain of bitter water and fountain of sweet water? Blessing and curse. Altogether. So look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge amongst you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. It's still teaching about faith with works from chapter 2. Don't forget. Yeah. So the book of James then is interconnected. Okay. So what is James saying? You want to see a wise man, you will see how he uses his tongues. You will see how he uses his tongue, rather. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So how he talks, we know how, if we are wise or we are not wise. Yeah? Look at verse 14. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. What is he trying to say? You have bitter envy in your life. Don't try to justify it. You have bitterness and envy in your heart, strife in your heart. Don't brag about it. Don't boast about it. You see, don't let me take you out of my book of life. Because if I take you out of my book of life, you can never get yourself back. You see, better don't lose me. Don't break this relationship. Because if you break this relationship, you will lose me for life. That's what it's teaching. You can't be bragging on things of flesh. Right? See, don't get to the point where I cut you. Because if I cut you, I cannot join you back again. That's a believer bragging on the flesh. You should not be proud of yourself, rather. You should be ashamed of yourself. Altogether, when you're walking in strife and you're bold enough to say you're walking in strife. Altogether, imagine as a pastor, I'm walking in strife. And I come to church boldly and say, see, there's this brother. No matter what he does, forget it. Eh? No matter what he does, I cannot forgive him. You don't know anything. Don't let me keep you in my mind. Don't let me take you up in my mind. If I take you up in my mind, that's the end for you. No, that's not the brag of the believer. That's a believer boasting with the words of the devil. Amen. That's a believer boasting with the words of the devil. Yeah. Look at the next verse. It says, if bitter envy and strife is in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. It now says in verse 15, it says, this wisdom, what kind of wisdom? The wisdom that involves bitterness and envy and strife. It says, this wisdom descended not from above. That word there above is the same word used as a gain, anothen, in John chapter 3. Except a man be born of water and of the spirit. That is, except a man be born again. The word again means above, that is anothen, right? So except a man, brother, it says, this wisdom is not from above. That means the word of the supernatural. Are we together? Right? So there is, you are a fountain of sweet water. Don't produce bitter water. You are a fountain of blessing. Don't produce curse. Don't produce envy. Don't produce strife. Look at verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. This summarizes all we've been teaching since Monday. Where envy and strife is, there is what? There is what? Confusion and every evil work. So the wisdom that descended not from above is earthly. It is sensual. See what it says? It says it is devilish. You see what I said earlier on? Yeah, it's the voice of the devil that you are borrowing. Don't keep envy. Don't keep strife. Are we together? Don't keep envy. Don't keep strife. Don't allow envy in your heart. Don't allow strife in your heart. Praise God for me. There's someone listening to me right now, and there are several times that I was talking about this forgiveness. There was somebody particular, I want this to be very clear, but I don't want it to be only this person that asked them this. But there's someone particular that came to your mind over and over and over. And this person is in the United States of America. If you are the one, just let me know after church, actually. Right? And let's see if we could help you get back that relationship. But you just have, now, it's not what I just said that brought it to your mind. I'm seeing this person in America. I'm seeing the person in the United States of America. Yeah? Yeah, I saw this first on Wednesday, but I just, moved around. Yeah? So it says, there's envy and there's strife, there's confusion, is evil work. Now look at what it says in verse 17. But this wisdom that is from above is first pure, then is peaceable, then is gentle and easy to be entreated. Are you a believer that can be easily entreated? Are we together? If brother A upsets you, can I boast about you like Philemon, like Paul will boast about Philemon? I know you will forgive Onesimus and even do much more than what I have told you. Be easily entreated. Don't open your mouth and be saying, even no matter who talks to me, no matter who begs me, I cannot forgive you. Who are you saying that to? Are we together? And no matter what, you see this matter you've done to me, this is over between two of us. Never again can I forgive you. If you like, go and call the president of America. No, now. They don't need to call a president of America. They need to just call a fellow believer. Be easily entreated. Are we together? Yeah, busily entreated. Don't be the person that your partner or your children say sorry to you. Still carry your big face and your swollen face. You don't know how much it can pierce my heart. You don't know how much it pierce my heart. Learn to forgive and learn to move on quick. Busily, see, let me tell you something. First of all, let me say it clearly. Do you forgive people because they say sorry as a believer? No. So you see, there's a problem. If people still say sorry to you and you still don't forgive, you understand that there is an issue. Does the Bible teach you you forgive people because they say sorry or apologize with your best perfume as a gift? No. Are together? You don't forgive because of how sorry people, how sorry were you when Jesus gave his life for your sake? Are together? So imagine imagine someone saying to me, for instance, say, I've begged her, she still doesn't want to hear. I've begged him, he still doesn't want to hear. What are you saying? You don't need to be told sorry before you forgive. Yeah? Everybody you're in a relationship with, you're already owing them what? Love, 70 times 70. In how many days? Per day, oh. Amen? Per day. Yeah, that's how some people say it now, be per day. Yeah, but this wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle. You're always pro-peace. Matthew 5, you always want to resolve things quickly. Altogether, you're gentle, you're easy to be entreated. What do he say? He says you are full of mercy and good fruits. He says you are without partiality, James 2, right? And you are without hypocrisy. Anytime that you cannot forgive somebody, you are an hypocrite. You know why? Because you've been forgiven. And you know, like I always say it, in our world, we have many sinners who are judging other sinners for sinning differently. Sinning sinners, judging other sinners for sinning differently. Or let me say differently for the believers. Believers who are struggling with sin, judging other believers who are struggling with sin, but because their sin is different from the believer's sin, they begin to judge them. Are we together? Right? Yeah? That's why the church, have you ever seen when people of the other faith or religion have issues in the local church and put it online? Think about this. Have you ever seen when people of another Christian faith or another religion, have you ever seen people wash their dirty linens outside as unbelievers or as Muslims, or as traditional worshippers or as Buddhists? Why is it only Christians that always wash their linens in public? We don't just pay attention to the word. I've been living for a few days right now on this earth, right? And I've never for once, I'm not saying I have looked for. I'm saying I've never for once come across a story where an imam is being publicly accused. I've never for once by the mosque. I'm talking about my own experience. So I don't have one record. You must be very smart to think worse things that happen with people who are born again. You must be very smart to think that those things as well don't happen in various camps as alike. You must be very, very smart. Smarting, you've already opened status. All these things I've forgotten some of these escapism some of our believers' brethren like to do, because I've stayed away from a lot of social media screening and scrutinizing and all of this, on Instagram. I can't remember the last time I tapped Instagram status or WhatsApp status more than 10 times. Tap 10 times. Can't remember. Yeah, so because of that, for yeah, somebody offends you, just say, some of those things even left my head. But you get the point. Yeah, must everything be online? Must everything be social media? You too, must you join in all the campaign? You should know the campaign at all. If I join, you join campaign. You should be strategic a little. Everything that kicks against the church, you must voice your this thing. And when you see people like that, I'm saying this to you publicly, when you see people like that, check it well. Yeah? Your day when you mistakenly do something that they misinterpret, they will take your own matter to as well to social media. Yeah? If you believe the best of the church, Christ knows that the responsibility of the rewashing and does the presentation of the church to Christ as a perfect bride. It is Christ himself. Let that sink well with you. I'll close here. It says, the wisdom from above is first pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, be merciful. Be full of good fruit without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace from then end. So doesn't that make sense that chapter 4 now starts the way it starts? It now says, with all the things I've said, so from whence comes wars and fighting? So he's saying you have the Spirit of God. Are we together? He says every good and perfect gift in verse 17 comes from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness. Verse 18, James 1, of whom his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You've been begotten with the word of truth. Why are you a sweet fountain bringing bitter water? What is bitter water? Envy, strife. He calls it what? Wars and fightings in chapter 4, James. You see, just reading context. We've just been reading from chapter 1. Yeah? It's not complex. So, from whence comes wars and fighting amongst you? Come they and not hence even of your lusts? Remember, we have addressed lust earlier on, right? Your lust when conceived produces sin, when sin is produced, produces death, right? So it is from your lust that war in your members. So it means that the devil wants you to give expression to a bitter fountain, even though you are a sweet fountain. He now says, you lust and have not, right? Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. That means you desire not. That means you are desiring something outside of what you should be giving, which is what? That which is full of the begottenness of the word of truth. You ask and receive not because, so it cannot, he's talking about wars and fighting. You ask and receive not cannot be prayer points. It means the believer, why are you desiring wars and fighting? Why are you desiring envy and strife? So look, listen carefully. We know it is your desire that produces lust, that produces sin. We're now saying, why are you desiring? You are desiring something. There's something you should be desiring to give much more expression of the fruit of the Spirit or the wisdom of God. Yeah, that which is full of peace, full of being easily entreatable, full of good works, full of full good fruit, not hypocrisy. You got the point? You got the point? Right? So he says, you ask amiss. That means you desire something different from the marriage bed of Christ Jesus. Yeah? I'm going back to the words of yesterday. You desire something different from the marriage bed of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So that you can consume it upon the lust. Don't forget, you desire, then you consume upon your lust. What does it do? It produces sin. What is the sin? That's why it now tells you, ye adulterers and adulteresses. So it means you've committed adultery. Because your desires lust, lust conceived, sin produced, death repercussion. So what is the sin there? You are now a one who is committing adultery. So what is it teaching? The believer is supposed to stay comfortable with the marriage union of Christ Jesus, but you are deriving pleasure from the marriage bed of war and fighting. Hope it's clear. He says, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What is the friend of the world? It means you are always trying to do what the world expects you to do on matters. No, it is you should be wise, not foolish. Hallelujah. It says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but to give it more grace? Yeah. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Let's read verse 7 together as we close this series this year. 1, 2, 3, go. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What do you do to the works and the workings of the devil? You resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. The expectation is you resist the devil. So resisting the devil is the work you have to make. The love work. Yesterday, I put it to you, right? God's word is very clear on what God expects from you. Do well to act in the things you've heard, right? And let me say this, on the back of this series, take out the next week, 1 week, right? And those people who you've told yourself you will never forgive, reach out to them. Reach out to them, right? Those people who you said to yourself that, no matter, this is the one, reach out to them. All together, right? Reach out. I'm talking about people particularly who you clearly both know that you know you are upset with them. And particularly for those of you who ideally it is you being upset with people. Are we together? Yeah? You can do that. Love always wins. Like I said, there's not a time when you do God's word, God's will, God's love, or you demonstrate God's love that God will say, I'm ashamed of you. Are we together? Well, Been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. Been an interesting long week, and I hope that you've been instructed in this part of the series, right? Or in this series, rather, Navigating Your Bible. Do well to listen to it again as you approach the new year. And these are series you come back to from time to time. Just remind yourself of certain realities. I, as a person, is something I always ensure that I do from time to time. Listening to God's word on the love walk. A lot of times, even myself, actually. Yeah, listen to myself on the doctrine of God's word. Why? You know why? Because it's easy to forget when you just hear it. It's easy to think that that is not what God's word says. It's easy to teach yourself out of God's will. It's easy to defend your devilish activities. Are we together? Yeah? When I say devilish, the Bible says that envy and strife, they are sensual, they are earthly, they are devilish. Are we together? Right? So it's not an insult. Yeah? And if at all that got to you, really, it means that there's something you need to check. You get the point, right? So check that which is in your heart. Restore your heart back to God's love. Bring your heart back to love. Let's reach out. Let's talk. Let's talk more. Let's talk more about conversations that might seem tricky to you and how we can go about it. Let me tell you, there's always a way. There's always a way. I love you so dearly, and I'll see you all tomorrow in church. Nigerian time, 11 a.m., UK time, 10 a.m. Cheers. Good night.